This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
You know, people always ask you, what's your story? What's your explanation? Especially if they're non-Muslim. And I always catch myself saying, like, oh, but I'm still the same person. And as soon as I say that, like, I just feel so like, am I?
اللهم إني أعوذ بك من الفقر والقلة والذلة وأعوذ بك من أن أظلم أو أظلم.
So there's this notion in Islam of liberation, and the more that you immerse yourself in servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more freedom you actually experience. And so let's start with two things. You've got freedom from the burden of social validation, the need to be accepted, right? And then you've got the other side of that coin, which is the fear of ridicule. And they both stem from the same place, but they have different manifestations. Now in the case of Ibrahim alayhi salam, right, his torture, his ridicule, the harm that comes his way is much later. You have a whole journey of da'wah, of calling his people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I want you to think about how frustrating this can be. And Imam al-Kathir rahimahullah ta'ala says he's afsahul anbiya, he's of the most eloquent of the prophets. He's literally the example of how to do da'wah, right? How to call people to God. You see the way he calls his father, the methodology is laid out for us and how he does da'wah to his father. And he has all the tools, but at the end of the day, they didn't have the hearts for it. It wasn't a lack of tools on his part. It was a lack of heart on their part and their willingness to accept it. But imagine being in the society and doing everything right and not having a single person to affirm you, right? Lut alayhi salam, his nephew, goes on somewhere else. His wife Sarah does not come until later on in his journey. So he's got years upon years where it's just him, despite being as eloquent as he is, despite having the power of those tools that Allah gave him with a powerful message. Have you ever been in a situation where you wanted to do the right thing, but you felt alone in that? You didn't have anyone to affirm you. And what do you take from this story, this idea of trying to do the right thing, but not having anyone around you to affirm you?
I mean, I was a vastly different person before I accepted Islam. So it was whoa, like you're accepting Islam, like who will you become now? You have to continue to practice, and that practice comes with some of that adversity.
So let me ask you this, was there a moment in your journey, like you became Muslim, where you felt the sweetness of pleasing Allah when no one else got it?
Yes, I mean, every day I read, I mean, I felt like I was a better person in my community. I felt like I had changed my life. Like I literally felt like I am a new person. I can do things differently than the way they were before. And I can be someone else. So yeah, that moment of just being there, and then, you know, years later going to Hajj and being like, oh man, I really arrived. Like I really reached a pinnacle in my deen where, you know, I made a lot of right decisions, and, you know, Allah allowed me to make these good decisions, and Islam saved me from, you know, Jalaliyah or whatever it is that, you know, was in front of me before Islam.
Inshallah. Beautiful. Anybody else have anything they want to share just sort of about that moment of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And I would imagine for sisters in particular that that's, you know, a daily struggle, right? You walk into a place and you're the only obviously Muslim person there, and you sort of learn that, you know what, I'm doing this for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no one else.
I mean, going off his story about conversion, even as a born Muslim, I always think about how we go through our own conversion in Islam. I would say just when you move from like teens to adult, and then, you know, the next stage in life, there's that epiphany that you get, and you can finally taste that sweetness of pleasing Allah. And for me, you know, I always say college can either make it or break you. And alhamdulillah, you know, I started, my whole spiritual growth was within those college years, is when I, you know, started wearing hijab. And the opposite is that I feel like I fell to that social validation, because as soon as I started wearing hijab, which was around in the middle of my college years, you know, people always ask you, what's your story, what's your explanation, especially if they're non-Muslim. And I always catch myself saying, like, oh, but I'm still the same person. And as soon as I say that, like, I just feel so like, am I? Right? Like, I wore the hijab for a reason. I wore it, you know, to please the one and only Creator. And by saying that, I feel like I just invalidated everything for, you know, society. And so, it, you know, with hijab, I'm sure we all have our own journeys. It's, you know, it's just the common reminder of why you're wearing the hijab. You know, it's not just a piece of cloth. It's how you act and say, and that is what's grown in me. I wasn't the same person anymore. I was, you know, hopefully someone better in the eyes of Allah.
MashaAllah. That's profound. And I wonder if there's even a moment of that for, again, many of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. Even like with Ibrahim ﷺ, the Prophet's like, I'm still the person you know. And that's really what you mean. It's not that I have not grown. It's that what made me beloved to you, my character, our relationship, that's still there, right? And I think that when you, you know, take that next step, whether you're converting to Islam or whether you are, you know, taking the next step in your journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there could be that sort of environment where like, oh, now she's gotten religious, now he's gotten religious, like, oh, like, I wonder if we can still talk about this, I wonder if we can still talk about that. At some point, maybe it's like, you know what, actually, no. Like, yeah. You should be uncomfortable saying and doing certain things around me at this point, not because I'm condescending and judgmental, but because I'm principled and I've got a clear pursuit and purpose. So I'm not trying to make you uncomfortable, but I am trying to make you more purposeful. And you got to find that fine line, right? And a lot of times it's not that as you're taking that next step that you're becoming harsher, right? Hopefully you're not, but that other people are you know, a little insecure with your growth, right? Well, wait a minute, you know, how could you take this step without me? You know, how could you move forward? Let me ask you a question, all right? Have you ever found, and especially with you, Antonio, I think I'll ask you this too, in particular, when you first took that step, and maybe someone was uncomfortable, but they actually came to respect it.
Yeah, so for me, it was everyone in the neighborhood, you know? So I grew up in DC, I grew up in a really, you know, tough neighborhood, so quote unquote, and so, you know, accepting Islam and becoming Muslim, it was just one of those things that, you know, it happens in the Black community where you're like, man, you're growing, you're making a conscious decision to be different from what the group is. In Islam, your actions are your da'wah. They speak the loudest, and that's what people will be looking to see and understand. And you want them, you know, that your family, they're happy for you. They see you progressing. They see you've made an individual decision to be different from how everyone else is growing up. You decide to do other more positive things because of your belief in yourself. You believe Allah has your back, and now you feel this, you know, this energy, this, you know, this courage and this positivity and positive reinforcement to go to college and do things that you normally probably would not have pursued had you not, you know, had Islam there and reading about Islam and all the beauty and the love of Islam. And so in those situations, yeah, you just really, you know, and people are just happy and they come back. And even years later, like, man, I'm just so proud of you. I know it's been a long time, but from that time to now, you know, and I always give credit to Islam, you know, for allowing me to have that opportunity.
So I'll share, subhanAllah, one of the things that's very beautiful about this story of Ibrahim alayhi salam is that he becomes so revered, so loved. You know, everyone wants to claim him, right? The three Abrahamic faiths, right? Judaism, Christianity, Islam. Everyone wants to claim Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim alayhi salam, even the Meccans had a drawing of Ibrahim alayhi salam in the Kaaba, you know, complete pagans, right? Everyone wants to lay claim to Ibrahim alayhi salam. So he goes on to become beloved. And of course, more than anything else, look how Allah elevates him, right? Where it really counts, where it's most meaningful. And this is a manifestation of the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, where he said that whoever pleases Allah by displeasing the people, Allah will be pleased with that person, and Allah will cause the people to be pleased with that person as well. And whoever pleases the people by displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will be displeased with that person, and Allah will cause the people to be displeased with that person as well. And the way the scholars describe that is, you know, when you're a person of principle, initially people might feel an aversion to you because they don't like you calling them on their ways. They don't like feeling challenged by you, even if it's just your trajectory, just your practice. And maybe they enjoy the messy, gossipy person when that person is talking about someone else, or the person that drags them down when they're down. But eventually they want to move away from that person, and they don't want anything to do with that person. So it's like the opposite of what the Prophet ﷺ said, "Man sama'a sama'a Allahu bihi." Whoever just causes or seeks to cause people to hear of their good, Allah will cause people to hear of their bad. And whoever shows off, "Waman yura'i yura'i Allahu bihi," whoever tries to show off their good, Allah shows off their bad. Allah will make an example out of them in that regard. And this has implications in the dunya and in the akhirah, in this life and in the next. So you look at Ibrahim alayhi salam, you look at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right? They tried to call him Muzammam, the one who's humiliated, dispraised. They did not want his name said in Mecca. Now, Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah is shouted out throughout the world at every single moment. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a constant, sending our peace and blessings upon him. Allah says, وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. We have elevated your name to the point that he is the most famous name in the world, the most influential man in history, and the most revered man, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so you take this journey, this trajectory, and some of the scholars said the most comprehensive of du'as, when Zakariya alayhi salam was praying for his son, he said, وَجَعَلْهُ رَبِّي رَضِيَّ. Make him, O my Lord, pleasing. Pleasing to who? Obviously, first and foremost, pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if you're pleasing to Allah, then what happens if Allah loves you? Then all the angels love you, and all the inhabitants of the heavens love you. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, يُضَعُ لَهُ الْقَبُولُ فِي الْأَرْضِ, that Allah places acceptance in the hearts of people, love in the hearts of people for that person. That's not everybody. That's people whose love is worth having. Those are hearts that love for the right reasons. And so they become pleased with you as well. And that sort of leads into this journey of Ibrahim alayhi salam, that he learned from a very early age to seek no one but Allah, because he had no one around him except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that was affirming him and praising him as he was taking this journey to him.
So Sister Sara, how do you navigate people being on a different path than you and the pressure and the loneliness that comes with that?
You know, subhanAllah, it's one of the most difficult experiences to feel alone when you're trying to do what you know is right, but the people around you are not in support of that. And that loneliness can be a very, very difficult experience. And we see that in the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam. But one of the things that I think is incredibly helpful when we think about this is to, number one, realize that the standard of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that stability that we're looking for. And if we're basing our standards on the standards of society, on the standards of people, it's going to be a very fluctuating situation. Our identities are always going to be in flux. Our choices, our actions are always going to be changing. And that instability can be very disconcerting spiritually and then also psychologically, right? So how do we combat that difficulty? You know, the Rasulullah ﷺ tells us that Islam began as something strange and it will return to being something strange. So give glad tidings to the strangers. But it's really important to acknowledge that even though we know that there are glad tidings given to strangers, to choosing that path that's pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's still really hard. And it's okay that it's hard. And that's part of the reward, that it's really hard. So acknowledging that as being the first thing. And then the second acknowledgement is to realize that our actions are what we're held accountable for. So the people who are on a separate path, that we are, you know, wanting to not feel so alone in this path, and we might be tempted toward that path, in the end, we're not going to be asked about the path that they chose. We're only going to be held accountable for the path that we choose. And so having that self-accountability, that we focus so much on what other people do, but in the end, that's not what matters. What matters is what we do. And then finally, the third acknowledgement that I think really helps with that feeling of loneliness is to realize that in the end, when we submit in the way that Ibrahim alayhi salam submitted, and we choose that difficult path of walking that path of loneliness, that in the end, realizing that that is for us, that is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't benefit, or it doesn't take away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or benefit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which path we follow, but it benefits us. And so that path is for us. And when we acknowledge that, that what we're doing, this hardship that we're going through, is actually for our own benefit, it tends to make that path of loneliness a little bit easier, inshallah.
So can you think back to a moment where you were willing to seek Allah's acceptance and risk people's judgment? And how did you get through that moment? Please share with us in the comments.